The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Caught you thinking about pizza. It's okay. We are too. Especially that Marco's golden crust and a pizza bowl with four tasty toppings. Mmm. And a perfect side of melty cheesy bread? Oh yeah. Head to Marco's.com to get a large one-topping pizza on golden crust, a pizza bowl without the crust, and a fresh baked cheesy bread, all for $21.99. Stop thinking about pizza. Start eating it. Marco's. Pizza lovers get it.
Glad to have you with us for a Saturday morning version of the Frozen Rope Report. As always, I'm your buddy Kevin McAlpin, Truist reporter for The Fan and the Atlanta Braves Radio Network. It's Saturday morning, September the 17th, 2021. More day baseball coming your way today from Wrigley Field in Chicago. 2:20 p.m. Eastern is your first pitch. And, of course, we'll talk about all the action coming up a little bit later on in our show. We'll also get you caught up on some of the news from around Major League Baseball. Take a look at some of the scores from the National League East. A very eventful day around the game yesterday. And if you stayed up late, well, you would have had to stay up till about 3 o'clock in the morning to catch the end of the Dodgers and Padres game. Some crazy things happened at the end of that contest. It went extra innings. We'll talk about that and what you may have missed if you were in bed like I was, taking advantage of getting to sleep at a decent hour last night. Folks saying it almost felt like a postseason game at Petco Park last night. We'll also talk about some of the other things that happened around the game, and of course we'll take a peek at this date in baseball history for you as well. Obviously, the Braves coming off a win yesterday, 5-2 over the Cubs at Wrigley Field in a game that was started by not Drew Smiley, but Kyle Wright. Drew Smiley landing on the injured list before the game yesterday. That was a bit of a surprise, probably for all of you who tuned in to join us for the Ford Leadoff Show on the Braves Radio Network. Smiley to the IL with left forearm inflammation. It's something that he felt during his side session a couple of days ago at Truist Park. He's on the shelf. The Braves are hoping it'll only be one start, maybe two times through the rotation that they'll be without Smiley and get him back in there. Club also recalled infielder Johan Camargo, and that may end up being a great roster move once we talk about some of the injuries that happened in yesterday's contest. Of course, the Braves got some early run support for Kyle Wright, a big three-run fourth inning. That was really much needed. Ronald Acuna Jr. doing it not only at the plate, but doing it with his legs as well as he scored on a ground ball to shortstop. Really, really remarkable. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Ronald Acuna Jr., folks, is a man on a mission here in 2021. He had a two-run single in the fourth. That got the Braves a 3-1 lead. And then he was standing on second base. Marcell Ozuna hit one deep into the hole at short. A diving play over there on the attempt by Javi Baez. Good job keeping it in the infield. But Acuna was going all the way. He hit third and never slowed down. And I think briefly, Baez hesitated. Now, the throw beat Acuna to the plate. The problem was that Wilson Contreras couldn't come up with it cleanly. It trickled out of his glove, and Acuna was safe. He hopped up. He was fired up. The Braves' dugout was on fire. You're just seeing such a different element of Ronald Acuna this season, and it's been a treat to watch. We have been really spoiled here in Atlanta, getting a chance to watch this kid day in and day out. And again, for all he's accomplished so far in his young career, this has been just remarkable what we have seen so far. Again, he is just he's on another level, and to call him red hot and to call him I don't even know what this is that he's doing, but I will just tell you, sit back and enjoy what's happening here, because look, he's not going to be able to do this forever. This is not going to happen all season. So let's just enjoy this just absolutely tear of a start he's off to. 15th and 16th RBIs on the season for Acuna in that fourth inning. Braves did have to walk the tightrope in the ninth with Will Smith. Struck out Mariznick to start the inning. Then he walked Ian Happ. Struck out Wilson Contreras. Then he walked Anthony Rizzo. Bryant followed with a walk. They were bases loaded at Cubs with two outs in the ninth. Jock Peterson climbed in as the winning run. He had a chance. If he put the ball in the seats, that was going to be a devastating loss for the Braves. However, Will Smith got him swinging. Ball game over, 5-2 your final. Braves 5 runs on 9 hits, no errors. They left 11 runners on base. For the Cubs, 2 runs, 6 hits, no errors. They stranded 12. Tomlin picks up the win. He's 2-0. Zach Davies suffers the loss 1-2, and it was the third save of the season for Will Smith. All right, let's talk about the injuries. Braves did lose 2 pieces of their starting lineup in yesterday's game. Ender Inciarte coming out of the ballgame in the 4th inning as he was running the bases on Kyle Wright's double. He was between 2nd and 3rd, and he pulled up, and you could tell right away something was not right. It is a hamstring issue for Ender Inciarte. As of the time I'm recording this thing, about 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, no roster move as of yet, but do expect to see Ender land on the IL. And it's unfortunate timing. Look, I know we've said a lot of things about Ender on the air, on this podcast, the struggles that he has gone through the last couple of seasons, but you feel for him because it seems like he was starting to maybe get some things going in the right direction. Had a base hit in the 9th inning, part of the comeback in the Braves win on Thursday at Truist Park, had a couple of hits and a couple of questionable decisions on Wednesday night, but it seemed like the bat was starting to come around a little bit. Obviously, with Pache on the injured list, the Braves needed somebody, and having a 3-time Gold Glove Award winner is not a bad guy to throw in there as a replacement for Pache. But look, it was tough. It was tough to see Ender come off the field like that yesterday, tears in his eyes. He knew what was going on. I mean, he knew that this was not going to be a good end outcome when he got into the trainer's room. And again, as of now, no roster move, but probably if you're listening to this anytime after 10:30, 11 o'clock this morning, there will be a move that's made. He will go on the IL. That's just inevitable at this point. Also, Ozzie Albies came out of the game yesterday. That was in the, what inning was that? That was in the 9th inning as he was hit by a pitch. It looked like it was right around his knee. Snit said it was a calf issue for Ozzie Albies. Hopefully, he's able to get back in there in the next couple of days. I don't think that will require an IL stint. I do think it will require a day or maybe 2 off his legs. I would not be surprised if we see Johan Camargo in the lineup when it comes out a little bit later on this morning. And again, Drew Smyly on the IL as well. So that injured list is getting longer and longer by the day for the Braves. Of course, Max Fried is still on there. Braves are hoping to get him back at some point next week. The benefit of having Monday and Thursday off next week is actually going to be huge for the Braves as they can tweak this rotation a little bit and hopefully get some guys healthy as they move forward. So again, that's a look at what you may have missed. I did want to throw this out there. I don't know if you folks saw this. I tweeted this yesterday. On Kyle Wright's line, 4 1/3, 2 earned, 3 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. However, he hit not 1, not 2, not 3, but 4 Cubs batters. So I said, you know what? I'm going to look up to see when the last time a member of the Braves franchise hit 4 batters in a game. Would you believe me if I told you it hasn't happened since 1908? And would you believe me if I told you that Kyle Wright was just the 4th pitcher in franchise history to hit 4 batters in a start? Well, that's the case. I looked this up yesterday. Kyle Wright joins, and get these names. This is why I had to tweet this. These names are absolutely incredible. It reminds me of like when you play the video game and there's like the create a player name or there's like the minor league guys that are just names. You're like, where do they get that name from? Well, wait till you hear some of these names. And again, this goes to prove, as somebody on Twitter, and I forget who you were, and if you're listening to this, I apologize. Somebody on Twitter said, baseball player names were so much better 115 years ago. All right, listen to this company that Kyle Wright joined yesterday. Togi Pittenger, and he did it on August the 1st of 1903. Patsy Flaherty, August 31st, 1907. And Vive Lindemann, July 28th, 1908. Those are the only other 3 pitchers in Braves franchise history who have hit 3 batters in a single start. I'm sorry, hit 4 batters in a single start. You can add Kyle Wright to that list as well. And I was looking up, I was trying to find some kind of interesting biographical news or stories about some of these guys. Vive Lindemann. Yeah, I'm sure that's a name that flows off all of our tongues. Vive Lindemann, here's how he kept in shape. He walked 17 miles per day as a mail carrier. Remember, these guys were baseball players. Baseball wasn't the number one responsibility for these guys. As Chris Domino and I joke, these guys roll out of the 3rd shift out of the factory and they would put on a uniform and go play the game. So 17 miles per day walking as a mail carrier. So that's how Vive Lindemann kept in shape. And again, Kyle Wright, Togi Pittenger, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, Patsy Flaherty, and Vive Lindemann, the only 4 pitchers. And you have to go all the way back to 1908 for the last time a member of this organization hit 4 batters in a single start. So I wanted to throw that out there. I thought that was really interesting. As far as what happened around Major League Baseball last night, we'll start with the division. Kyle Schwarber had a big knock for the Nationals. He had a walk-off home run in D.C. last night. Nationals got past the Diamondbacks 1-0. That was a bottom of the ninth solo shot from Kyle Schwarber, a guy that the Nationals are hoping can really help give them some thump in the heart of their order. Phillies crushed the Cardinals last night in South Philadelphia. 9-2 was your final in that game at Citizens Bank Park, a ball game that was started by Carlos Martinez. He gave up 6 earned in 5 innings. Zach Eflin pitched really well again for Philadelphia, and their bullpen got the job done last night. Elsewhere around the National League East, the Mets are in Denver. They were snowed out at Coors Field, and I thought this was rather interesting. There's been today, Saturday, is the 17th day of the 2021 Major League season. The Cubs, to this point, have played on just 7 of the first 16 days. I'm sorry, the Mets have played on just 7 of the first 16 days of the young season. They've had rainouts. They've had their opening series against the Nationals postponed due to COVID in the National Clubhouse, and now they have snow to deal with in Denver. That'll be made up as a doubleheader later on today. There were other things that stood out to me watching games last night, scrolling through. Mike Foltynewicz, another tough outing for him in Texas. He gave up 5 earned in 5 innings against the Baltimore Orioles. Folty 0-3 with his new team out there in Texas, in Arlington. The game of the night obviously took place at Petco Park in San Diego last night. Dodgers taking on the Padres, and this one got interesting late, folks. We had pitchers playing the outfield. We had outfielders pitching. I mean, it was just a crazy finish to the Dodgers and Padres last night. Los Angeles would score 5 in the top of the 12th inning. They got past the Padres 11-6 in a game that saw the benches clear, a fan run on the field and try to get involved. Playoff type atmosphere at Petco Park, which I got to tell you is refreshing, because all the years going to Southern California, you know, you would go to LA, and a lot of times our road trips would feature LA, and then you'd shoot down the 101 or down the 5 freeway to San Diego and play the Padres while you were in that part of the country. I can't tell you that the difference of going from Dodger Stadium to Petco Park, the atmosphere, the noise, the crowd, the vibe, just totally different. But it'll be cool to see the Padres. Obviously, they've put a lot of work into getting this team back to respectability. And obviously, they get Fernando Tatis Jr. back last night. He went 1-for-6 in last night's game, made an error as well. But I think San Diego, Petco Park, is going to be the place to be here, especially as they expand capacity moving forward. I'm excited to see what that atmosphere looks and feels like down there in San Diego, because let's be honest, they really haven't had a whole lot to cheer for over the years in San Diego. So excited to see how that series plays out. Dodgers are 12-2 on the young season. That's probably a surprise to nobody that watches and follows the game. They have obviously just an extremely, extremely talented bunch down there in Los Angeles. One more for you: the Rays. They clobbered the Yankees last night, 8-2 at Yankee Stadium. New York is 5-8 on the season. They have the worst record in the National or in the American League East. The Yankees are off to a slow start, and of course the Braves hope that continues through at least next Wednesday, as the Braves will go from Chicago to Yankee Stadium for 2 games against the Yankees on Tuesday and Wednesday. So hopefully the Yankees can just keep quiet for a little while longer, and the Braves can continue playing well on this road trip. They'll look to make it three wins in a row today behind Waskari Noah, who has thrown the ball extremely well, coming off a no decision against the Marlins his last time out, but he was terrific. 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, walked 1, and struck out 10. Enoa was the youngest Braves pitcher at just 22 years old to strike out 10 or more batters in a start since Julio Teheran did it back in 2013. Enoa on the mound for the Braves. He's 0-0 with a 0.75 ERA. Fastball can hit 100, wipeout slider. He's got swing and miss stuff on pretty much all of his pitches, and he'll be going up against Trevor Williams and the Cubs offense that continues to scuffle, scoring runs here this year. And again, as I said for the Yankees, hopefully that'll continue moving forward. Williams gave up 5 earned his last time out against the Pirates, 10 hits in 3 1/3. He gets 10 outs and gives up 10 hits. Walked 2 and struck out 3. Williams hasn't seen the Braves since 2018. It'll be his third career start against Atlanta. No record, a 2.77 earned run average. This guy looks the part on the mound. He's a big guy, 6'3", 230. He can get a lot of ground ball outs when he's on his game. Got a good fastball. Curveball and slider are pitches that I think he needs to get better with. But he's got a couple of different fastballs, a two-seamer and a four-seamer, and a pretty good changeup as well. I think ultimately down the road he will be a reliever, but obviously in the Cub rotation, at least in the short term. So Enoa for the Braves and Trevor Williams on the mound for the Cubs. Chris Domino and I kick off all of our coverage today with 680 Game Day at 12:20 p.m. Eastern on 680 The Fan here in Atlanta. And then, of course, wherever you are across the Southeast, or if you have the app, the 680 The Fan app, or if you're streaming us on our website, the full network pregame show begins at 1:05 p.m. Eastern, and we'll walk you right up to first pitch. Ben Ingram, Joe Simpson, they will have the play-by-play action for you, Braves and Cubs, coming up today at 2:20 Eastern from the friendly confines of Wrigley Field. We're going to step aside and take a quick break. When we return, we're going to take you inside the Braves clubhouse. We'll hear from Brian Snitker and others. Lots more to get to. And of course, this date in baseball history. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after a short break right here on the Braves Radio Network.
Follow the Podcast Park on social media for live updates as new episodes hit and behind-the-scenes looks at all our shows. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Podcast Park.
Well, hopefully your Saturday's off to a...
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Good start, and we're glad that you're spending part of it with us here on the Frozen Rope Report on the Braves Radio Network podcast. Also want to remind you, Chris Domino and I do a daily podcast as well where we talk all things Braves, Major League Baseball. We do a lot of fun stuff on there. Hopefully you can join us for that as well. Make sure you like and subscribe, and it'll pop up in this very same feed where you find this podcast as well. So hopefully you're enjoying that. We are happy to bring it to you every single day, and we thank all of those of you who have already liked and subscribed. Tell your friends, we're giving away free stuff. Yeah, you don't want to miss that free stuff. Everyone loves free stuff. So make sure you are checking that out. And again, we appreciate all of you who have already done so. All right, it's time to take you inside the Braves clubhouse at Wrigley Field and hear from not only the manager, but let's hear from Kyle Wright and Marcell Ozuna as well. Let's start with Brian Snitker, who was asked after the ballgame if he had any updates on Ender or Ozzie. Again, this is from yesterday's 5-2 win. Here is Snit talking about a win for the Braves, but of course, a couple of losses when it comes to on-field personnel.
Yeah, early word on Ender and Ozzie.
They're both being checked right now. I mean, Ender, that, you know, I don't know if it's the same one. I don't remember what George said, but he gigged his hamstring. And Ozzie, that he'd been hit twice in the calf and fouled one ball off the top of his foot. So we'll know more this evening.
It was the knee this time, right? Or inside the knee?
No, it was calf.
It was calf. Okay. Were you pleased with the damage control that a lot of your pitchers did today? There was a...
Yeah, God knows we did. That's for sure. Kyle, I don't know. He'd lose it, and then he'd make some great pitches, and consistency, command wasn't great, but, you know, he dialed it in when he needed to and made some nasty pitches. Mm-hmm. Just like we talked earlier, you know, if this kid ever gets that consistency and all that, them weapons he has. But I love the way he, you know, he like you say, he didn't let the – thing get out of hand and made big pitches, got some big outs, and kept us in the game.
That play that Acuña scored on, the aggressive base running, just how important has that been for this?
That's great. And you can be aggressive like that when you have that speed. And that's a tough, you know, that's a tough one as a third base coach. I mean, those things develop so long, and guys that are fast and running hard like that, you got no choice but to keep them going. And that was a great heady play on Ronald and Wash and both of them. I mean, just being aggressive. And you know what? And when you're running the ball hard and running so hard, not taking anything for granted, I mean, it's huge.
Nice to see Ozuna. I know one of the hits was an infield hit, but to get three hits like that, can that help him get going?
That's good. That money, you know, like I say, this guy, he's going to get her going. And there's, you know, they're seeing some, a lot of signs lately too, that, you know, he's starting to feel himself also.
What have you thought of Heredia these last couple of games?
Fine. I've seen him be more aggressive at the plate. I think he's taking too many pitches and not, you know, he needs to take safety off and swing, but I, you know, liked him in the outfield. He's getting a good opportunity. It's up to him now to do something with it.
For Darno to catch that 4-hour game and make that big play late, so late in the game in the shadows and all that, it's pretty impressive. That foul tip bunt.
He didn't catch that. He only caught one inning yesterday. He had a day off pretty much.
Darno, today the bunt though.
Today's game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I meant today's game. Is that all it was? Is four?
That's all it was.
No, that was a good play. Yeah, that's a big out, a huge out right there in that game. Huge out. And it is. That's tough because you get disoriented in a ball like that. That's a great play. You're right.
What was the conditions like? Because it seemed wind blowing in, but you had shadows and everything.
Yeah, no, it didn't seem. I don't know. The guys weren't complaining about it, or I think that, you know, there's a little bite in the air. But I know I asked Ender early, and he goes, "Wasn't really windy. They didn't feel the wind in the outfield." But nobody's talking about any shadows or anything. It was a beautiful day, really. Yeah. You know, until the end, shadows were kind of rough. But overall, for April in Chicago, I think it was pretty good.
Is Will Smith always going to make it that interesting, you think?
I hope not.
was a lot of sliders. Oh.
Go ahead, Dave.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Was it good to run Minter back out there?
Yes. That was a great opportunity right there for him. Because, you know, this guy's going to be big for us. And I thought that was the perfect opportunity for him to, you know, not have to start anything. Just come in and get a couple outs. That was awesome. I think a lot for his psyche and confidence and the confidence we had, you know, he's our guy. So I think that was a perfect opportunity to get him back out there.
That's a pretty big spot for Nuke too. I know it wasn't late in the game, but it was
a big part
of the game.
No, it's a big part of the game. He did a great job, you know, and the good thing is he stayed efficient. He'll be ready, you know, good to go tomorrow too.
So there's Brian Snitker, and again, while it's not official yet, expect to see Ender land on the IL later on this morning, and then for Ozzie, more than likely probably going to get a day or two off. I would be shocked if he's in the lineup today, especially considering it was only in the mid-40s yesterday. Looked really, really cold at Wrigley Field, that's not a fun place to be if you're hurting like that. So I would think that more than likely we'll see Ozzie get a breather today. Braves would have to make a roster move for Ender. What that's going to be, it's anybody's guess, because the 40-man roster is full. Remember when they brought up Heredia, he was the only other outfielder on the 40-man roster. They do have Abraham Almonte. He could be a possibility. Drew Waters, maybe. I know a lot of you wanted to know, will we see Drew Waters? I doubt it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens as we move forward. But the Braves have some personnel decisions they're going to have to make here in the short term. All right, from the manager to yesterday's starter, Kyle Wright. 2 earned, 3 hits, 4 1/3, walked 2, struck out 5. Also hit 4 batters along the way. I probably don't want to highlight that anymore. But Kyle Wright, a no decision, although he pitched well, I thought. I thought he showed some good things yesterday. Here's Kyle Wright talking about his outing yesterday at Wrigley.
Kyle, when did you find out you were starting today?
I guess it would have been on Wednesday. So found out Wednesday and.
And were you pleased with, I know you hit 4 guys, but were you pleased with kind of the damage control that you did today and avoided having those big innings?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, command wasn't great. You know, a lot of it was just, never really had great grip or feel of the baseball, just kind of one of those conditions. But I think I did a really good job of settling down, making pitches when I did. Like I learned a lot, you know, conditions-wise from when I pitched in 19 in Philadelphia. It's pretty similar to that. I feel like I was able to kind of slow the game down, relax, and not try to do too much.
The cold and kind of chilly and windy and all that?
Yeah, and I think that's why my slider was so good today. For me, it's the one that pitch goes the deepest into my hand. So I feel like I was able to have good control of it that way. And, you know, I relied on it big time and threw some good ones that got me out of situations.
Hey, Kyle, how did it feel getting that hit and kind of helping set up that 3-run fourth inning?
It was awesome. You know, for me, I was due for one, I guess. It's been a little while. So it was cool. And, you know, for me, being in the ninth spot, particularly with two outs, I just want to get to Acuna however I can. You know, I mean, he's the hottest hitter on the planet. So whatever I could do to get it to him and give us a chance, that was my goal. And I got a good pitch to hit and put a good swing on it. And then, you know, next you know, he drives us both in. So that was my goal, just get it to Acuna.
Have you guys been going for a couple of weeks down at the alternate site with the inter-squad games or?
Yeah. We, I guess I've had two starts. I think pretty much everybody's had two starts. The first one, we didn't have too many guys because guys are on tactical squad. But then our last start, it was more game. We got a bunch of good hitters down there. So get some good feedback from those guys.
I guess Bryce is probably chomping at the bit to come up too, huh?
Yeah, he's ready to go. So I know he's been preparing well and he's excited.
From Kyle Wright to the guy that gave him some run support with three base hits in yesterday's game, including that infield RBI single, Marcell Ozuna, who's starting to come around here in the third spot in the order for the Braves. Good to see him get going, and you knew it was only a matter of time. Let's be honest. Were you really worried about Marcell Ozuna? Remember, I know a lot of you were asking me, oh, Ronald Acuna is off to a slow start in spring. Should we be worried? Well, my answer was no, and my answer will still be no about any of these guys. It is early, and you got to give them time to settle into the season. For me, and I think back to what Johnny Gomes told me probably 5 or 6 years ago. He said it takes a team probably anywhere between 30 and 40 games to get their identity, to figure out exactly what they're going to be. This is still early. It's a team that's still trying to find their way. They haven't played great baseball, and here they are, two games under 500. So when you think about it, it could certainly be a whole lot worse. And so I think that the future is bright for this team. But again, Marcell Ozuna, three hits in yesterday's game. And here was the big bear talking after yesterday's win.
Good to feel to get three hits today. You feel like you see some signs really getting going?
Yeah, you know, I've been fighting with my mechanic and Pizzolet every time I hit. When I start the season, it's like at the end of the bat, I broke career highs, breaking bat. I broke like 4, 5, 6, I don't know. Well, I broke in a lot of bat this year. I don't know why.
But you feel good, though? Got that opposite field hit today. Is that a good sign?
Yeah, that's a good sign. That's mean a lot for me because I feel like I'm getting there. So I think it's going to be good things coming up.
Marcell, does it feel like the lineup change on Tuesday kind of injected some energy and some life into the lineup?
Yeah. We the or skip does that because he reflects from last year. We was like 1, 2, 3. So for me, it's a good idea. I still hitting a 4 ball. In my mind, I just say like move down, like to get more at bat and get a more pitch select. You know?
Does it feel like this team's about ready to bust out? I mean, and do like you did last year for most of the season?
Yeah, I think that's how it's gonna do right now. So we've been good. We're winning yesterday and we're winning today. So let's see how's the season going right now.
Still the same confidence level with you with the whole team, the clubhouse?
Yeah. Especially we got Ronnie healthy. We was having RV healthy, so. So we have a pretty good team. So I like the way they play.
What have you thought of what Acuna has done so far, and also Pablo Sandoval? Pablo Sandoval as well.
Oh, that's the boss. Coming from the pinch, he is the hardest hit ever. So I give him my respect on him because they give you the opportunity. He's ready to hit a bomb. He don't think he anything else, just homer, like close man. And then Acuna, nothing to say. He's one of the best player I ever seen. A score with a infield hit, that's for me. I wasn't like this, like, thank you, God. And I give it a hug to him because I don't ever think he gonna chance to score in the NBA.
Yeah.
Especially having by a defense. He got a good arm, so
yeah.
And Contreras, good block and everything.
He can run a little bit, huh?
Who, Ronnie?
Uh-huh.
Fast.
And we appreciate Brian Snitker, Kyle Wright, and Marcell Ozuna for their time after yesterday's game. Time now to take a look at this date in baseball history, folks. It was on this date, April 17th of 1925. Babe Ruth undergoes an operation for an intestinal abscess at St. Vincent's Hospital, where he will remain for 6 weeks. The 30-year-old Yankees outfielder will miss the first 40 games of the season due to his, quote, bellyache heard round the world, a popular misconception that blamed the consumption of abundance of hot dogs and soda for his illness. So on this date in 1925, Babe Ruth undergoes a procedure at St. Vincent's Hospital in New York, where he would remain for about a month and a half. Also on this date in 1929, it was a cold and dreary day at Griffith Stadium when President Herbert Hoover throws out the first pitch and then stays for the entire game, watching the A's beat the hometown Washington Senators 13-4. The loss would spoil the managerial debut of the big train, Walter Johnson, on this date in 1929. All right, it was also on this date in 1934, on opening day at Crosley Field, Reds announcer Red Barber calls his first play-by-play for a major league team. The future Hall of Fame broadcaster was just 26 years old at the time and had never attended a major league game before the opening day ball game in 1934. There was a 6-0 loss to the Chicago Cubs. How about that? You imagine never seeing a ball game in person and here you are calling it? Wow, pretty wild. All right, it was also on this date on April the 17th of 1951. Mickey Mantle, batting third for the Yankees, grounds out to second base in his first big league at bat. At just 19 years old, the right fielder will hit a 6th-inning run-scoring single, Mantle going 1-for-4 in his debut in a 5-0 win over the Boston Red Sox at Old Yankee Stadium. Speaking of that date in 1951, that was also the first game ever that public address announcer Bob Shepard would announce the Yankees lineup. Of course, Bob Shepard, the longtime voice of Yankee Stadium, called the voice of God. If you've never heard his voice, go to YouTube, look up Bob Shepard. It is an incredible, incredible voice. He called Yankees games for, I want to say, 60-some-odd years at Yankee Stadium. He was in his 90s when he retired and passed away not too long after. But that lineup, the first-ever lineup that he introduced, included Mickey Mantle, Phil Rizzuto, Yogi Berra, and the first-ever name would be DiMaggio. But it was Dom DiMaggio batting leadoff for the visiting Red Sox. So there you go, a couple of interesting nuggets that happened on this date at Old Yankee Stadium in 1951. All right, one or two more for you, because I enjoy looking back at the history of the game. It's so much fun to visit through. And speaking of Wrigley Field, where the Braves are today, it was on this date in 1976 that Mike Schmidt, of course, of the Philadelphia Phillies, hit 4 home runs in a game at Wrigley Field with the wind blowing out. When the Phillies came back from an 11-run deficit, they beat the Cubs 18-16 in 10 innings. And that was Schmidt became the first ever third baseman in National League history to hit the homers consecutively on this date in 1976. All right, here's one more for you. It was on this date in 1977, right here in Atlanta at Fulton County Stadium. Umpires would walk off the field in the 4th inning to protest the Braves showing a controversial play on the ballpark's big screen that involves Bob Watson scoring on a close play at the plate. Team executive Bill Lucas would persuade the crew, which include Terry Tata, Ed Sudol, Dick Stello, and Bruce Fleming, to return to the field after assuring the umpires that the incident would not occur again. How about that? On this date, 1977. One more for you, because this is the Braves. On this date, 1988, the Braves beat the Dodgers 3-1 after breaking the National League record with 10 losses to start the season. And I know this is not one that you probably want to remember. The Braves dropped 27 of their first 39 games. That cost Chuck Tanner his job. as the Braves manager. On this date in 1988, as they say, victory is ours. Well, that's going to do it for our show here today. We appreciate you tuning in. Again, hopefully you'll join Chris and I for 680 Game Day. We're on the air at 12:20 p.m. Eastern locally here in Atlanta on The Fan. And then we'll be picking everything up, all of our coverage on the Braves Radio Network, wherever you might be at 105, walking you up to first pitch. Braves and Cubs, Enoa and Williams, Ben and Joe on the call coming up today at 2:20 p.m. Eastern from the friendly confines of Wrigley Field on the north side of Chicago. Folks, have a great Saturday.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.